Teacher was teaching a Sunday school class, and they were teaching about the wandering in the wilderness. And so he came up with the question. He said, why do you think they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? And a wife rose her hand and said, I know. She said, well, why? Because he was just like my husband, too stubborn and too prideful to stop and ask for a direction. You know what the Bible says about Moses? God said in Deuteronomy that Moses was a humble man, and there was not another man on the earth like him. And God chose him to be the one to deliver his people. You know about Saul becoming appointed as the king over Israel, the first king? And God is the one who appointed him, and God said there wasn't anyone like him. He was handsome. He had a masculine, fantastic physique. He was intelligent. But then he said, Saul is a pious and humble man. Strange, though, isn't it? That as you read about King Saul, because of his victories and the things that begin to occur in his life, pride begin to build and grow, and sooner and often, as it does in all of our lives, if you don't stay humble, you will stumble. Humility is a very strange aspect of life, because the minute you think you are humble, you just lost it. Humility is the right attitude, however, according to the Word of God this morning in our text, because in following the example, if we are going to be like our Lord, indeed as He is, it says right off the bat that you and I are to have this attitude in us that is in Christ Jesus. I will quit. Am I doing that? Okay. So what does it say? It says, have this what? So we're going to have the right attitude in life. That right attitude is that we are going to be followers of Jesus. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus left us an example that we would follow Him, walk in His footsteps. A true disciple is one who follows the teacher. Not only does he listen to his instruction, but he follows his example. There's a lot of people who know what Jesus taught, but they are not really following Him. And as many of us have struggled over the years in our individual lives, one of the things He says, have this attitude in you which was in Christ Jesus. Although He existed in the form of God, He didn't require or regard that as being equal, something to be grasped, but He emptied Himself. The Greek word for humility is understood in the context of what it says before it uses the word humility. The word humility means to empty yourself of yourself. It means no longer I, me, myself, or I. It's gone. In fact, if you really context and get into the feeling and the aspect of the Bible, you understand that in baptism, you were crucified with Christ. You were put to death. The old man was done away with. You became a new creature in Christ. You received a new heart, the heart of God, a new spirit, the Spirit of God. And as Paul said, I die daily. And then he also said in the book of Colossians, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but it's Christ. You see, that's theology. We say it, we quote it, but how many have truly experienced it? That we really know that I have been put to death. I don't live any longer. That is Christ who lives in me. And He has taken over the reins of my mind, my heart, and my life. And I am following Him to the nth degree of who He was as the Son of God. He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself. And in doing that, He took on Himself the form of a servant. You see, you can never become a servant until you've emptied yourself. Until no longer is it about me and my time and my energy and my money and my and this and that. It's no longer yours. It isn't your life. It's God's life. It's Christ in you. You will never learn the fullness of becoming a bond servant. That's the example he set. He became a bond servant. Isn't it interesting? Paul calls himself a bond servant. Peter calls himself a bondservant. The followers of Jesus who gave it all up and emptied themselves and went out doing nothing more than following the example that Jesus set for them, they themselves recognized they were bondservants, okay? And as a bondservant, he became made in the likeness of men, right? But he still considered himself a bondservant. You know what he said to the apostles back in Luke chapter 21, where he said, you know, the Grecians and the politicians of that day, they love to be in the chief seats. They want preeminence. They want control. But then he said, gentlemen, fellas, listen, it's not going to be that way with you. The one who wants to be the greatest among you will become a servant of all. I am not among you as one who has come to be served. I came to serve. Now, that's the attitude of my Lord. That's the example he set for us. And for me to call myself a disciple of Jesus is that I not only listen to his teaching, I follow his example. I follow his example. He was found in appearance as a man. Every one of us right here, we've all been and we have a form of being human beings, men and female, whatever. But yet my Bible tells me that I'm to prefer you better than myself. That I'm not to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. That your needs and who you are is more important to me than me. I have to empty myself and get me out of the way in order for that to happen. And too many people haven't found that element in their lives, okay? And then he humbled himself, became obedient unto the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then God did something. All right, would you go help and say what he said? All right, God did what? Can I move it myself? No. Yes. No. Yes. He came obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And then what did God do? God highly exalted him. God gave him a name above every name, right? And then he says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father who is in heaven. Isn't that what it says? So what happened? What happened is after Jesus humbled himself, he became what? Obedient. Humility brings obedience. And obedience, and after one has truly humbled himself and become obedient to God, it is then that God exalted him. Not until. Not until. Okay? So are you listening? You have to get me, I, myself, whatever, you have to get you in bright perspective to the aspect of who Jesus' example was. He emptied himself. And in doing that, that is the Greek word for humility. He humbled himself. And what he did then is he became obedient. No one will truly become obedient to God until they have truly humbled themselves before God. And that element then, as one humbles himself before God and then becomes obedient to God, are you listening? Then comes the exalting. Not until. Not until. Not until after we have truly humbled ourselves before God and become obedient to him, is God then going to follow the aspect of that with exalting us. Okay? God exalted him. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Jesus is Lord. And the aspects of that is that is the pattern you will find all the way through the context of Scripture. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in proper time, he will exalt you. So that is what humility is. Until humility comes, it will not and has accomplished its perfect work in our individual lives. There is no way God is going to bless us, exalt us, or be able to use us. It cannot be done. The blessings always follows humility and obedience. Always. Always. I don't know if we've learned that the opposite also is true. James 4:6, God is opposed to the proud. Well, God's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, God is opposed to the proud. To the proud. Pride always comes before the fall. The destruction. The Greek Hebrew is destruction. Pride always becomes before one destroys their lives or the lives of others. Okay? And a haughty spirit, Proverbs 16:18-19, a haughty spirit before stumbling, it is better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You see, pride and rebellion are always found together. Did you hear that? They are in direct opposition to humility and obedience. Have you noticed how many people refuse to obey certain commands in the Bible? Certain people will not humble themselves to where they're willing to submit to what God's Word teaches them and really, truly obey what it says. You understand why Jesus said then, if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. There was no ifs and ands about it. Did Jesus love his Father? Do you see the battle and the war that went on in Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but thine be done? Knowing what was ahead of him and what was going to occur and all that he was going to suffer on your behalf and mine, he had to humble himself and become obedient to death. He had to do that, okay? Pride and rebellion are the following and traveling companion, and they pose the greatest threat to your spiritual maturity and mine. Jeff read a powerful verse about discipline. If you've never been disciplined by God, you probably never learned to be humble. Humility sometimes is a lesson you learn by God taking and disciplining us. It's painful, right? Well, what's the end fruit of it? The end fruit is that you and I would become mature, obedient, follow the aspects of it. You see, one sense of pride leads to not needing God, not needing anyone. A prideful person, according to the book of Proverbs says, pride, a prideful man, always has the answer for everything. You ever notice that? You know, you ever been around people that no matter what you say, what you're doing, what you're talking about, they always have the answer. They always have the answer. And if you have done something, they've always done better. You know, doesn't matter how big a fish you caught, they always caught a bigger one. Never seen that? It happens all the time, doesn't it? And ultimately, of course, it will relate to a form of rebellion against any and all forms of authority. Are we seeing that today? You understand what's going on in our political world right now? When you have a narcissistic, prideful man that is up there in the limelight, you know, and who he is and his position and all the aspects of it, I don't care who your man is. I don't care whether it's his name or anybody's name. Nobody can go to that position and not have Satan fill him with pride. It is impossible. Saul couldn't deal with it. And I don't believe any man in his own human well without, first of all, himself emptying himself, denying themselves, taking up their cross, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, is not going to become one who will lead down the road, the path of destruction. I mean, it's ultimately a curse. Proverbs 21:24, proud, haughty, scoffful are his name, who acts with insolent pride. What? Haughty, scoffful, proud. Those are the three companions of pride. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. You see, when anyone doesn't really want to follow the law, they ultimately become a law unto themselves. It doesn't matter what the Bible says and what it teaches. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what it says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you don't do it the way I want it to do, you're going to wish you had it. You have that through the context of Scripture. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. What? With the humble is what? Wisdom. Have you noticed the lack of common sense today? Your lack of what they say. I mean, can you actually print more money and get us out of debt? Can that really be reasonable? Huh? I mean, think about it. How many of you have maxed out credit cards thinking somehow you can take this bill and put it on another bill and somehow you can work your way through it all and you'll get out of debt? I mean, there's people out there that it's unbelievable. I assure you. I was at the Quality Dairy. I mean, this guy had two items and he was putting it on a credit card. He was a young man, not very old, and he opened up his wallet and the wallet had, I got to believe, probably 10 credit cards in it, at least. I mean, it was thick. And he pulled out one, run it through the scanner, wouldn't work. Pulled out another one, run it through the scanner, denied. Pulled another one, run it through, I'm not lying. Pulled another one in, run it through the scanner, it was denied. And so he pulled them all out and said, try this one. That one worked. What does that mean? What did that tell me? He'd maxed out all those other credit cards. Now think about it for a minute. Humility always comes before wisdom, always is a fruit of humility and the aspects of it. And the reward of humility is indeed riches, honor, and life, according to Proverbs 22:4. Did you hear what I just said? The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So why wouldn't I become a man that empties himself and get myself? You and me, I am my biggest problem. And until I let God deal with me and crucify me and put me to death, so that I don't live any longer, and I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to submit myself 100% to Him and follow His example and do what God's Word says, then in essence, then I am keeping myself from God being able to bless me, my wife, and my family. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And so I guess the motivation behind becoming humble is that I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. How about you? That's who I want to follow and the aspects of it. And I want a greater intimacy with God, don't you? Didn't Jesus find a greater intimacy? The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. A greater degree of wisdom. How many of you could use that? I certainly want it. I want to grow and become and the grace and knowledge and the wisdom of God. I want to have a personal and a spiritual blessings of God. I don't want man element. I want God being able to bless me. Amen? I want God being able to bless me. And what he does say is that in the aspect of my being humble and obedient to him, he'll do two, three things. That he'll exalt me. Now what he said? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in proper time he will do what? He will exalt you. He will exalt you. And what happens when you're not humble? You're trying to do it yourself. And what's going to happen? You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to make a fool of yourself. Whatever. It's like the man coming and sitting in the chief seat, right up in the front. And what does the Bible say? No, don't walk in the front seat. Sit in the back seat. Then if you're invited to the front seat, that's one thing, isn't it? But how many people today want to be in the chief seats? Okay? Think about it for a moment. James 4:10, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. What? Walk humbly with your God. You see, the only reason I wouldn't become humble is because I don't believe in God, or I think I'm equal to God. That God, I'm sorry, but this preacher believes right now, if God wanted to, I could drop dead right here in front of you. I believe every breath I take is a gift from God. That's humbling. Fear of God is to know that your breath, your life, and every aspect of your being and every one of your tomorrow is in his hands. Isn't that true? Whether you're a believer or not, it doesn't matter. Point is, that is who God is. That is humbling. And it is truly that we need to have that. And the spirit of humility always precedes salvation. I've taught a lot of people the plan of God, and it's very clear to me. You see, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is simply an acceptance of facts and truths related to a person. Okay? I mean, that's what it is. You either believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God or you don't believe. And if you truly believe Jesus Christ is and was the Son of God, then you also have to acknowledge what he came to do. He died for you. Why did he die for you? Because you have sinned. And if you have sinned, then you understand that sin took this unbelievable, beautiful Son of God, an innocent lamb, and put him on a cross because of your sin. That should humble you and lead you to repent. That should take your will and break it. What does God desire? But a broken and a contrite heart. You know how many people have gone through and done whatever and had and went through forms and yet they never humble and did it with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and humbled themselves in baptism and died with Christ, rose to become a new. No, they didn't act. That's all they did. They got wet. And they came up the same person they were. Sorry. But Jesus said, by the fruit you'll know them. You will know them. Well, there is one thing to go and to be obedient, but that obedience has to be and comes from a spirit of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That is what God's looking for. And when you realize that Jesus died for you, and he died and took your sins in his body, he paid the price for you, he was your gift offering from God as your propitiation, and took the wrath of God away from you, your heart and your will ought to be broken, and you ought to turn from sin and its wickedness and its evil, and you ought to hate it for what it did to your Savior. And it ought to cause you to hate sin and desire no longer to crucify him over and over and over and over again of flesh. By willfully sinning. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer says? The spirit of humility always precedes salvation. It's humility that makes compassion, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, love possible. No one. Anyone, I don't care who I am or who you are, it doesn't matter anymore. The more I understand what Jesus did in emptying himself, I cannot love Marilyn the way she deserves to be loved with compassion and kindness until Bill Horton doesn't exist anymore. She is the element of my focus of my life. The husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do I truly follow him or don't I? Is that just theology? Is those words? Or do I understand that that's exactly who I am? I am Christ to my wife. And until I humble myself, and it's not about me anymore, it's about her, and she does the same, we'll never find the true fruitage of the oneness that God wanted a man and a woman to find in marriage. There's too much me and selfishness in relationships today. It's all about me. Jesus cannot be the Lord of your life without a spirit of humility. Wouldn't that be true? Sincere humility is necessary in our prayer life. Do you know that? And I'm going to be preaching a series on prayer. I'm serious. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector went into the synagogue, went both up to the altar. And Jesus says, and it says it's a parable, but he talks about the Pharisee. And what does the Pharisee talk about? Thank God that I'm not like other people. And I'm not like that tax collector. And I thank you, God, that I give and I do this and I give my alms and I do this and I do this. While the tax collector is over there beating himself with a broken, contrite spirit. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Now, what he was doing? That's what he's doing. What did Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. You see, our relationship with one another suffers when we are not humble. Churches have been destroyed. Marriages have been destroyed. People's lives have been destroyed because of individuals who will not humble themselves. Who want to be, whatever it is, in the limelight, be the first, and so on. 1 Peter 5:5, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That means when I'm with you, I need to get myself out of the way. I need to empty myself. Did you get that? It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. How many people, when they're with you, ask questions? How are you doing? What's going on? Anything I can do to help you, encourage you, whatever? Or is it always about them? Think about it. Think about it. The aspects of that. 1 Peter 3:8, to sum up all, will be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Let me say that again. To sum up all. Everything I've said today, let's sum it up by letting Peter speak to us today. Let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for that very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. I came to a man, New York orchestra, and this is a true story. He was asked by some person, head of the concert organist, orchestra. And he said, and they asked him, he said, well, what do you consider the hardest instrument to play? I thought, oh, that's very simple. He said, the hardest instrument to get anybody to play, are you listening? The second fiddle. Interesting, isn't it? So I can get anybody wanting to play B. First fiddle, being the chief C's, be up in the front. But he said, you know what? The one who gives harmony to the orchestra are those who play second fiddle. Without them, there is no harmony. Humble yourself, because without humility, there can be no harmony. Not in the home, not in churches, not in life, not in a nation. A lot of turmoil going on, isn't there? Simply because we have leaders who are not humbling themselves and becoming servants of the people and the aspects in which they were established and put in that position. We have elders who don't know what it means to be humble. They are lords over God's heritage. They want to run the show. We have Bible college presidents and leaders who don't understand humility. Everything's going to go their way. They don't listen to anybody. And sooner or later, they can destroy a college. They can destroy a church. They can destroy a family. They can destroy people who work under them because they're up here. I worked with those kind of guys. We all have, haven't we? That's why I respect somebody who's an entrepreneur, James. The only guy you got to deal with yourself, right? And her. That's humbling. But have you heard me today? Will you help me? Because I believe humility is an ongoing life process. I believe every day I have to deal with getting up in the morning and denying myself, taking up my cross, dying to myself, and putting you above me. Putting this congregation above myself. Putting the needs of people above me. Realizing that there's the only way I'm going to be willing to sacrifice and to give of my life and my money and my time and my energy to the cause of Christ and to the kingdom is that I have the same attitude that Jesus did and follow it. So if you're here today and you're really dealing with pride and somehow or other you've let it get a root in your heart, may God speak to you through the word today. Because I'm guaranteeing you, pride always comes. If it is in proper time that God exalts us. Saul didn't fall overnight. There was a long process of years. You remember David was appointed to be the king? And how many years did Saul reign and go through and do what he did before the ultimate end of Saul's life came? You understand what I'm saying? So pride doesn't necessarily mean that the destruction and the fall is going to come tomorrow. But it will come. It will come. God isn't mocked. Whatever you and I sow, someday we're going to reap the canvas, the harvest. So let's humble ourselves. Let's pray. Our Father.